didn't want to put up his brother or sisters?
Oh, I don't know.
What are they?
That is on the fourth Wednesday of the month.
The evening?
Yeah. Just turns.
Drive there in the dark to get there.
Yeah.
Or be driven.
Alrighty, so let's call to order the regular meeting and public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, June 9th, 2016. First item is to approve our agenda for the evening. Do I have a motion to
vote?
And a second?
Second.
So a motion by Commissioner Lecky, second by Commissioner Ryan. Any changes, comments? All those in favor of approving tonight's agenda say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved unanimously. Next thing is to approve the minutes for the May 26, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Sure. Second.
So we have a motion by Mr. Lecky and a second by Von Trapp. Any comments or changes?
My comment is that I felt the minutes were more than adequate to know what happened at that meeting.
Excellent. Any other comments or changes? Okay, all those in favor of approving the minutes for May 26, 2016, say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved unanimously. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will go ahead and move over to item number four, which is our public hearing on amendments to the North Bend Municipal Code 14.12 Floodplain Development Regulations. Mike, do you need to give us any comments or changes before we get into?
There was only one change provided, which was requested at the last meeting. It was just basically a typo, or not a typo, but changing a may into a shall in one of the provisions, and that's reflected in the staff report.
Excellent. So with that, at 7:10, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Seeing no one from the public present, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And we'll move over to item number five, which is Planning Commission deliberation and possible recommendation on amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 14.12 Floodplain Development Regulations. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that the proposed amendments be accepted as presented.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Ryan. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir.
And a second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Discussion or comments or changes?
I had a question. If we want to start at the beginning.
Sure.
Somebody else can. Mine isn't too... Oh, it's quick.
Yep.
So section 14.12, and then all the way down, pretty much at the end of that, section J.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 5 and 6.
Okay.
So I noticed some terms or phrases. Applicant shall demonstrate in section E. A critical area report is required demonstrating so-and-so. And finally, in J, on page 6, in analysis of bioengineering, I was wondering, I mean, what I saw in all of that was some serious money, and so I was wondering if it would be important to signify who is going to be expected to like perform those or pay for them.
That would be the applicant. So if the applicant's proposing some kind of river revetment or levee or something on their property, they would be responsible to provide the engineering and the studies.
Okay. And so is it necessary to, or, I mean, is that just kind of implied? I didn't, is that the general nature of how this works?
So that's just the general nature of the development review.
All right. That's all I have.
And Mike, is it correct that the applicant can choose any licensed person to do that? So
yeah.
That's why
yeah,
it's
not,
there's
provide.
No specific requirement other than it must meet our city standards.
Yeah.
Of
because that's part of the application process.
Hmm.
Yeah. If you want to do something on your land, you have to prove that it's okay.
It's okay. Well, in reading this, it wasn't clear in this that, well, I'm kind of joking, and I'm sure you are.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Who else has some comments or
I have a question. I don't know how to fit it in, but it seems like the steps that I see here is that we've had our friends at the federal level have, I chuckled, what was the name of their, what was their term? They came into our city and...
A community assistance visit.
Yeah, so their community assistance visit created further clarifications to the code, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be polite to say that way. One of the things that strikes me is because of the flooding concept, every citizen who now is going to be kind of level playing field under this document and the changes that have just been made is probably going to have some additional expense related to proving that their property is at a certain elevation related to the floodplain or floodway. And it just, it's always interesting if we can figure out what does that cost to the average Joe and Sally who have a property that is impacted by flood, their elevation record by the FEMA map. They're going to have to go through a flood certification process, right? Or, elevation certification process.
It depends on the specifics of what's
happening. Yeah, and that the regulation amendments here are not changing that requirement. This is, for the most part, just some clarifications, except the flood, the shed issue.
Yeah,
right.
Otherwise, the elevation requirement is, we require in our city people to elevate their home 2 feet above the base flood elevation. And the elevation certificate is required to demonstrate that, but it's also required for insurance purposes because their insurance premiums are going to be based on where they sit in relation to that 100-year flood level.
So I only went through this whole process one time,
mm-hmm.
and the survey, supposedly I could have filled out the documents myself, but I didn't, and I didn't think I had the skill set to do that. So I hired a surveyor. I paid the surveyor for their time and to do certain measurements, and I spent about $4,000 to get the form filled out, sent it in, came back and said, congratulations, Mr. Lucky. All you need to do is this, this, and this, this, which basically meant punch holes in my foundation wall so the water could flow through at some point if there's ever a flood and there had been one in 100 years, it'd probably been sitting there. So I got to believe everybody else thinks the same thing. How do we address that? And the place I'm going to here, how cool would it be is, it, maybe it's not tied specifically to this document, but if at some point in time the city said, you know what, we realize we've got rivers on both sides of us, and we realize that that's a part of the greatness of this place, but it's also a limiting factor for people who might want to have a new home on their property that they've owned for 100 years in their family. What if we somehow help them mitigate the cost of an elevation certificate for their property? Because we're the ones who were saying, sure, we'll sign up for this rule. They're not having a choice about it. So I had that thought.
In a way, that's what we're doing, and by participating in the community rating system. So we're offering then those ratepayers within North Bend who have to obtain flood insurance a 20% discount by receiving that Class 6 category under CRS.
But doesn't it improve, or could it possibly improve, rather, per lot basis if someone went to that step of proving their particular elevation for their particular home site?
It could, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I don't have a sense of where this could go, but my instinct is if you prove what you think is right, which is they haven't flooded ever in people's recorded memory, so probably are high enough to avoid a flood event, we just need to prove it.
If you're talking about height above the flood, there's a different process for that. It's called a letter of map amendment or a letter of map revision. And you can appeal to FEMA or apply to FEMA to be mapped out of the floodplain. And there are a number of property owners that have done that in North Bend here. And then you don't have to pay insurance.
Okay. I don't want
So one is whether you're, if I can clarify, one question is whether you're in or out, but your question is, I'm in, but I need to figure out how to comply?
Right. I mean, I get that this is not much different than it's always been, but it's an opportunity for me to say, instead of just blindly passing more clarification on the restrictions of a private party's property, why don't we add something that actually benefits them? Something like even just a suggested guidance sheet of information that says, hey, this is the rule that applies to the property. Using the example you just did, there's two or three people who've gone through the process and they don't have to have flood insurance. Maybe it's a public service that we provide to say to them, here's a story, Bob and Sally Smith, this is the example, this is where their address is, this is what happened, and this is what it could save you if you did it as well. And then I'd even go to the next level and say, we've got a pool of resources, grant money or whatever, that would allow those people who were in that place to maybe have some success to just get it done. Because then it ripples through the whole town. So I don't know where to put that. I just wanted to, whether a good time will
be. I think we'll talk a lot about that more during our update to our community ratings system. Update. So remember, this is stuff that Department of Ecology has identified as base requirements under the National Flood Insurance Program. Then we'll come back after our community rating system visit from FEMA, which talks about, in addition to your regulations, what are the other things that you can do in your community to obtain points? And one of those requirements is community outreach. So that's where we can talk about your options that you can do to increase your readiness, I guess, for flooding, and things that you can do to your home to elevate it, or options that you have to reduce your risk.
Do we have residential property right now, or I should say residential use property, that there's a legitimate concern for flooding?
A few. Not substantial,
like a handful,
but,
right?
Yeah.
Yet this rule and the insurance-related requirement affects the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So I'll just kind of leave it there. I'm not sure exactly what the solution is, but maybe a single-page outline that we could send out or make public on the website. Here's how to save yourself $1,000 a year, folks.
It's so it's very property-specific. It's very structure-specific.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do a generic sheet. Aside from, you may want to consider pursuing an elevation certificate, or adding venting might help. It depends on this. Some homes are not going to be appropriate to add venting. For some homes, adding the venting is not going to really provide them any benefit in terms of the cost of doing that versus the savings on the insurance side of the house. There are some interesting provisions, actually. There are a number of condo developments in Florida that have gotten reimbursed by FEMA for studies that they did to prove that they weren't in the special flood hazard area. So technically there's language in there at the federal level to reimburse someone who's able to prove, who actually gets that LOMA. But I have never seen it in practice reimburse an individual homeowner, property owner, that has pursued an elevation certificate that resulted in a LOMA. And we have a lot of them. Within the city of Northland.
Would you agree that my story, the money I just shared with you, is probably why?
Well, I wish I had talked to you before you spent that money.
I wish you had too. I didn't know there was any option. The surveyor, quote, expert, didn't have any other answers.
I'll leave it at this. I think that some of what you're talking about is actually something that is not within the purview of the city. It's in the purview of people working on the insurance side of the house. I know that what you have described, the document you have described, is something that we have used in public outreach, where we just bring in specialists to talk about it. It's not us. It's not a sales thing. It is here's information that you need. And we talk about what the ideal building would look like. So you kind of it's at cross purposes, because from the building side of the house, from what the community is doing, a lot of it is very different from what they're doing on the insurance side of the house. Beyond the LOMA issue. City of North Bend has actually done extensive, kind of a rough survey of every building in the city when they were contemplating trying to fight that map change, I think, where they did a rough elevation of every structure within the city limits that we had at the time. They're not perfect, but they did that. But whether or not they could go through and pay to have an elevation cert done for each, I think that we get into some of the things that we may not be allowed to do because it directly enriches a specific person rather than the community as a whole. But anyone who checks with the city can have them look at what the numbers are for their particular address. It's going to give them an idea of whether or not they should go and get an elevation certificate done. Again, not perfect, and the numbers don't always come in okay, but it would give them an idea.
What would be a number that you think is normal or reasonable for an elevation certificate? Price to get it done?
About $600, maybe $700 if it's more complicated to do.
That's the form, right? You're not talking about actual survey work.
That's completing the elevation certificate form, which includes a survey. What you may have had done for a LOMA application in an AO zone, which is downtown, they have to do an entire site survey, and that is far more expensive, and that is specific to AO zones. It does not affect AE, which is most of Silver Creek and other areas. But we kind of gone sideways, which is that there are things that can be done, but I don't know that some of what you're describing is something that's not really the city's to do, aside from maybe having an outreach event, which the city of Snoqualmie has cooperated in helping with for a number of years to get the word out about here's what you can do and here are what the options are out there. So something similar could be done by the city to provide the information, but it's really not something that they would be getting involved in, aside from doing permits for someone who was going to cut fence.
So Jim, if I can go back to your two points, one was talking about information, the other one was talking about financial assistance.
I would use the term assistance.
Well,
I would, funds could be available for a particular elevation, for example. If your property is at the elevation of 765 feet or higher, and you're having to pay for flood insurance, we have a process to help you prove otherwise. That kind of thing. But I'm not talking about going to just help
Mike,
people who don't have the money.
Can you say again the couple of areas you were saying that the city kind of, or the two points that Jim was, I guess, reflecting on that you were explaining? Do you remember what that
outreach was? Community outreach is one of the things that you do at Four Points under the community rating system. So we could put more information out there about how to go about getting yourself an elevation certificate, what is the process, what are things that you can do to prevent losses, just general information about flooding.
Okay. So could it be something that we get in the minutes of this meeting that, or put it on your notes for when we're going to discuss this to figure out how to accomplish that and where it should go, or to make that a formal motion either now
or then? I don't know that that's, I mean, I'll check into it, but I don't know that that's the purview of the Planning Commission. You guys are responsible.
And I get that. That's kind of how I was kind of, you know, presenting it, like I'm not sure where to put this. But let me circle back, just ask some more questions if I can. So there was a survey done, you mentioned this, or general rough survey of the whole city. Was there a particular elevation that was kind of significant? I mean, think about it, water moves to high ground, it doesn't. It moves to the low spots. So is there some number that makes sense to talk about?
You mean the flood elevation?
Yeah.
It varies throughout the city. So we've got a flood map here. So if you look at the flood variance,
much more than 2 or 3 feet, right?
Mm-hmm. It totally depends on where you are.
And it can be a matter of inches. If I share a specific real-life example.
Yep.
Neighbors side by side, when you look at the houses, when you look at the ground, there does not visually appear to be a difference. Neighbor one got a letter of map amendment. Neighbor two missed it by 2 inches. So that's what we're talking about. It's not something that you can just say, here's a rough number. It is very specific to the property.
But you're also taking the flood elevation, which are these red lines, and you have to compare the flood elevation against the ground elevation. The ground elevation is going to be based on your topographic survey. So just depending on what the ground's doing, the ground is going to undulate a whole lot more than what the flood elevations will. So that's
if your foundation was built up a foot over the mean line for the land itself, then you've got a different elevation for the house.
Right. And for loma purposes, the land, the actual physical lowest adjacent grade, they call it, of the land has to be at or above those the numbers on those red lines. And the way that it's been described to me is that we have like a hump that runs through part of North Bend, starts kind of a little bit over in the Torgerson area and snakes through, and you mainly see it through part of Silver Creek, where some of them are on high ground, and then you'll have a neighbor that is an inch or 2 inches too low. Mm-hmm.
So how many homes would you say, just off a guess, how many homes in North Bend are paying flood insurance?
Anyone that has a loan?
Yes, that's a requirement.
And probably, what do you think that premium is per year?
It depends. But if you're talking about your garden variety older home in North Bend that is not elevated and is not benefiting from elevation certificate rating, they're probably paying in the neighborhood of $2,000 a year at this point, and it's continuing to increase.
Would you say
there's changes in the program?
Would you say there's 1,000 homes?
The bulk of Silver Creek, a good portion, the whole downtown core, anyone that has a loan in there, some portions of New Side View, a large portion of Old Side View. So you're probably, if we were talking about before the expansion of the city limits, close to 100%.
So 1,000.
But with the expansion, we have more areas that are outside of it.
So 1,000 feels right.
Yeah.
Did you say average of 2,000 a year?
Typically, for an older home.
Is that just for the, is there a flood insurance portion versus the other insurances?
That's just flood insurance. Just flood insurance. And it's going to vary depending on the style of home. Elevated homes, again, we're increasingly seeing a number that are getting elevation certificates, and it helps. So is there information that could be gotten out to people? Yes. Because in some areas of the city, not all, in some areas of the city, getting an elevation certificate, even if you don't get rid of flood insurance, is going to save you money because the difference between our land elevation and the base flood elevation is not very much.
So
it's a matter of a couple feet in some places.
So I'm, pardon my tactic here, but I'm trying to get to a point. Mm-hmm. So if we have 1,000 homes at $2,000 a year, somebody do the math.
200.
Right? So that's a lot of money that people are paying, and I just throw out an argument and say at least 50% of them are paying it because they don't know they have any other choice, and it's coming to them in their mortgage payment, and there's no way out of it unless they prove it, which the argument's going to be, well, it's going to cost them more to prove it than it is to pay the bill.
And in some cases, if you try to prove it, they can up your premium.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, the assumption is you're already bad.
Well,
that's FEMA's assumption.
Right? I think that the point that you're making is that the city could help its citizens with significant outreach because we have a bit of a unique situation here because of the specifics of the area.
Yeah.
But homes with basements aren't going to benefit. So how many of these do we have in the area? And that's split levels. We like these daylight basement things around here. It's not going to affect everybody. So then you have to weigh the expense. How many points does that really, spending money on doing an event or sending out an additional newsletter, what is the cost benefit? And that's something that the city would have to parse through. But sending out newsletters are one of the things they get discounts for, it gives them points on the CRS audit. It's why you see the really pretty one that the city of Snoqualmie puts out, I think twice a year now, that's specifically flood. And sometimes it's just how to be safe in a flood. Other times it's information about things that you can, other things you can do.
If I were a developer starting over from scratch, and I had all these lots that were there with no buildings on them, I'd quickly spend my couple hundred thousand dollars and I'd do every other lot.
What if you were the planning commission with nothing there?
I'm thinking that way. I mean, we're
well,
not the
we could
the
just
passage,
change where density happens and not allow development in flood areas, right?
No. Because then well, you just took the rights away from the landowner.
No, I'm saying that's what King County gets with their high rating, right? So, right, if there was nothing there and it was just farmland, that could have been an option back in the day. Instead, they built levees. And,
because it was what was acceptable practice at the time.
Right.
So I don't know where exactly to go. Outreach sounds like the key. But every time we pass or approve clarifications or additional requirements, additional restrictions, I always think, okay, there's got to be a counter to this, because that's where I'm coming from with it.
And if it
Thank
is
you
true
for indulging
that,
my conversation.
That what Mike was saying, the one change was to sheds, and as it was described at our last meeting for those who weren't here, it's not so much on the requirement that it's to penalize that person that's building the shed, but make sure it's built to a certain standard so it doesn't become loose and damage other buildings in a flood event. So that to me sounds reasonable to require that it's built to a certain standard and has a foundation and doesn't float away and become a missile or projectile.
And I think it's important to note that I think that I used the word triage at the last meeting. Some of this is essentially that. It's changes or clarifications that they want in something that we honestly don't have choice about. Because it's about being compliant with the program and making sure that we don't end up with situations that would affect people's ability to have loans and have flood insurance. And that's from the federal level down. It's not us deciding to make people's lives difficult in any way, shape, or form. It's about
However, we work. Are the only thing standing in line between the regulation and the person who owns the property.
And I understand that. And we can do other things to make sure people are aware of their options. But in this case, it's about preserving people's ability to get loans or to sell their property.
Yeah, Jim, you couldn't. I'm on your bandwagon here. I really do appreciate what you're thinking. But if I were thinking of the city attorney, I would say we can't possibly risk shouldering some responsibility of the homeowner who is trying to prove himself or herself out of the floodplain, because all of a sudden we become partner to them and we're responsible for whatever might happen. So we just stay numb about it, so we kind of back off and let the individual take care of themselves.
Right.
But I think it does seem almost axiomatic that as a public policy, not only are we responsible for identifying where the flood areas are so people can be protected, but to help people who find out if they're in flood areas or not, and help them, not just be passive, but actually help them figure it out. Because we are imposing this rule.
Right.
We're actually, it's a life-saving rule that we're showing where the areas are flood prone and mitigate for that in some way. And we're just not doing the other part of it where we know areas are not flood prone. And we can tell you that. We can't tell you that because then we're responsible for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we may have that 1% chance in any given year that we have water at that level.
And that totally fits back into the. Trying not to sound negative on this point. That's the bureaucratic mind. Totally the bureaucratic mind. It's easier to say no and then have somebody else spend all kinds of time, money, and energy to prove me wrong than
well, keep in
to
mind
say
that
yes and have risk of being wrong.
Keep in mind, though, that the entire purpose of the National Flood Insurance Program is to reduce it costs to the taxpayers by ensuring that we're building in a way that doesn't require the taxpayers to keep throwing money back at.
I would argue that's a great concept, but the reality of what's happened, and if you go back, I spent a bunch of time in Florida, the risk for the homeowners in Florida got pushed around the country into places that never flood, right where we're sitting, because now all of those people are not worried about their FEMA bill that's going to go up because they've had to take care of an incident or storm event or whatever. All of them are paying flood insurance that trickles back down the same way. So the money just got moved around.
Yeah.
everybody's paying, as opposed to FEMA just paying and having to figure out a way to get the tax dollars from the citizens another way. It's a game. That's my perspective. There's a butt. I see a butt over here.
Well, no, I'm going to not have the conversation because it actually doesn't apply to North Bend. But given what I do and given the people I talk to, there's some interesting things about the I'll call it the myth of Florida getting dollar stuff in the flood insurance world.
Most of those are uninsured.
There,
right?
No, there's an input. It would sidetrack us, so I'm going to just stop.
Right.
But it doesn't apply to North Bend and what we need to do. Yeah.
So, Elizabeth, do you have any comments or changes?
This is all within line. I mean, I'm not really seeing anything different from what I see for Snoqualmie, actually. A lot of this language is down what they have. It's a pretty standard language for these types of ordinances. King County, of course, is a bit stricter, but I don't know that I think we touched on the fact we don't exactly have the money here in North Bend to do what King County has done to get a 40% discount for everybody. So no specific comments about it. It's kind of boilerplate floodplain management language.
Scott, anything, questions or comments?
I've been learning a lot about this, and I don't really have anything specific to add to our
I can buy a hell of a pump for $2,000. Do you know that?
Commissioner Ryan.
Do
you have any comments or changes?
No changes or comments.
Well,
it's necessary that they be incorporated into the plan. They've been missing. They've been added. It's time for us to get them inside our code and manage towards it.
Well, I'd like to thank Elizabeth for all her insight.
Yes, they're here.
Giving us some in-depth knowledge on this issue.
Hey, currently just listening to this tape because I know a lot of the university comments about motion. If you don't have an elevation certificate yet, you're in Silver Creek, you need to do it.
I heard you say if you don't have an elevation certificate yet and you're in Silver Creek, you should get one.
Yes.
That's what I heard, yes.
And call whoever you're working with.
All right. The motion before you is to approve the amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 14.12 Floodplain Development Regulations. All those in favor of approving the amendments say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
So motion carries with one no by Commissioner Lucky. Anything for good of the order?
Question for Mike. The mayor mentioned the hotel at the chamber.
Yeah.
Can you expand upon that? What is the hotel status?
Yeah, they resubmitted their design review about a month ago, so we processed that and we just issued the design review approval for the hotel. They submitted their updated building plans about a week and a half ago. So it's in building permit review right now. So hopefully they'll be breaking ground later this year.
How was the plans changed from the previous owner?
It's not a previous owner.
Okay.
Same owner.
Different hotel occupant?
Same hotel occupant. They were just addressing some of the prior comments that we had about the design of the building and a number of site issues that they've had to resolve.
Is there confirmation on the brand?
It's a Marriott Fairfield.
Fairfield. Good.
Was the design,
that's at least what's in the plan submittal.
Right.
Was the design related to the foundation of the building? And what about the structure was the issue?
Just conformance to our city's design standards, and they were minor issues. Bigger issues are about the some of the grading and things that they haven't yet addressed from prior comments that we provided to them. Wanted to make sure they addressed all of our comments before moving on into other things that didn't get overlooked.
So is the site currently showing that it's dry, or is it filling up with water, those depressions?
It's dry currently. It's not really the flooding season right now, but the site is designed to flood. It's designed specifically to inundate as part of the floodwater storage.
And that's happening.
It did happen earlier this year, yeah.
Will the owner of the black BMW please secure your
room? Yeah.
No, never mind. It just went out.
Yeah. It's part of that.
This is really actually what was going on in my head as I was seeing all the cars.
Part of that lot is in the floodway.
No, the lot's not in the floodway. It's in the floodplain, but their compensatory storage requirements under our floodplain regulations required that they not fill the site. So a portion of the site is low. It's expected to seasonally flood.
Would this property have been created to go forward under this newly passed ordinance that we have now?
Yes.
Okay. Phoenix Plaza update, which is the explosion site.
Yeah, it's under design review. So we're providing comments to the applicant, and they'll be making amendments based on those comments.
Now, when you say the word comment, you mean mandate.
Comments about how the project does or does not conform to city standards.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not arbitrary at all.
Yeah, we're not having a conversation here, Johnny. You're going to get this done, right?
If it doesn't meet the city standards, it has to be amended.
Yep. Okay, anything else?
That project, it seems an interesting project that you're just talking about, but it's going to block them outside the view of Mount Side from the road is going to be blocked by about, I would guess the angle from here to Mount Side, and it's a three-story structure.
Yes, I believe
it is. You might lose the first 1,000 feet line of sight.
More than the poplars?
What's
that? More than the alders and the poplars that are on the riverbank there?
I'm just talking about driving down North Bend Way. You look over your shoulder, you pretty much see all of Mount Side. I think with that building there, which is needed and necessary, I'm just saying where it's going to be a different view. Mm-hmm.
We don't have protection of viewscapes from public rights of way, so it's...
Really?
No, we don't.
Should we?
That's a question.
Gateway plan.
Yeah, well, you want to protect viewscapes from certain public important places. If there's a park or if there's a primary intersection or something that you want to protect. But otherwise, if you try to protect viewscapes everywhere, somebody's going to get blocked. So it can get messy.
And more restrictions on private land.
However, therefore, kind of thing. I do think about this. If you're driving down North Bend Way, north or south, east, west, wherever you happen to be in town, if there's a two-story building that's right up on the curb, you have a certain view. If it's a three-story building right up on the curb, you have no view. If that second, that third level.
That is something that our design standards address. The third floor has to be set back, and it is with this proposal.
Is that view-related, or is that just part of the code?
It's not necessarily view-related, but it's light to the street.
Okay, yep. So that part, I remember us talking about that, and I think that kind of covered it, because if you push it back, you kind of kept that second-story line of sight, and we already have lots of second-story buildings.
And with this proposal, it's actually the first floor that they put up to the street level, and then the second two floors are set back. So you still will be able to, I don't know if that you'll see them outside necessarily from the sidewalk on the street, but it's not going to be as dominating as what it could be.
Has anybody been to Kirkland recently, like in the last 3 or 4 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because one of the things that I've noticed, I used to be there all the time, and Kirkland has grown exponentially every time there's been growth. And right now, you may as well be in downtown Bellevue, except if you get out of your car and start walking around. But there is no sense of the lake being there anymore like there was. The congestion of traffic, parking areas, it's not the same.
So that's why I was late, because it, I went about maybe a mile and a half in like 45 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a bad accident.
So plant the seed maybe for this view thing, the view piece of the puzzle. If there needs to be another level of conversation, I'd say let's bring
it back. I think we're going to have that opportunity because at the last city council meeting, Jenna was talking about the land use element and the Puget Sound Regional Council wanting a change, and so we might get to open that up in a year and make that change.
The council wants to look at a number of kind of vision-related things about design of the community.
Yeah. But this was something to do with our zoning and land use, as well as the change to constrain residential to large lot or something residential, to make that name change. Other than that...
One more question. Any time frame on the completion of the Pickett extension, or is that... 2-3 years?
It's on our 6-year capital facility plan, but other than that, I don't think there's any more specifics at this point about when that might happen.
Okay.
Any updates to the Sigali property?
No. No, we haven't received an application.
Any indications things are slowing down?
No. not at all.
Gen Day cottages, they're just breaking.
One other curiosity, I guess, is the Chinook Lumber site. Yeah, is the sign was removed? Is it because it's kind of like...
It's past the notice of application period.
So. Me too. Okay.
The sign needs to stay up for the notice of application.
It was like their own sign, like coming spring 26. Oh, okay. Obviously, spring's past. We're almost. So is that still going to be built this year? Or?
It depends on their schedule. So the ball's in their court right now. Provided them comments, waiting for them to respond.
Yeah, I'm used to having 2 or 3 of your cohorts here, and now we're down to one. There must be a sign that you guys have been pretty busy.
Yeah, what is it? Prices of homes have exceeded their highs of pre-crash.
Yeah,
yep.
Big time.
You could say it another way, ever. Another way to say the same thing.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. I'd love to see that.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Mr. Von Trapp.
Second by the latecomer.
All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:50.
Good job, Mike.
One or two? 7:51.